You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
There was no one, and I don't know that I've seen anyone pissier than Mike Zimmer was. Not just with this. We're going to play you a soundbite. For you Aggie fans out there that are interested in seeing your guy Kellen Mond get a little playing time,
go watch an old Aggie game.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
Don't hold your breath. But Zimmer was, okay, coach, what'd you think? What'd you think of your team's? What did you think of it? Well, I don't know, coach. He was.
I can't wait to hear this. I read it.
No, this is.
I read it, but Zim is, you know, a lot of people think he's on the hot seat, that he won't make it out. I think that Zim probably didn't. He doesn't make the picks over there, and I think he probably was not in favor of drafting a quarterback. And so this is what happens when the quarterback isn't playing well in practice and you didn't want him. You're going to be more than happy to tell everyone you didn't want him. And Mike Zimmer has been telling the truth on his players a lot, mm-hmm. which is not going to sit great,
All the players. I don't think Mike Zimmer is that's his girlfriend. She's a Maxim girl.
What?
Yeah, that's Mike Zimmer's girlfriend. Possible? I don't know how Mike Zimmer is doing that.
What? Maxim's still around?
Maxim is still around.
Oh.
And Mike Zimmer's girlfriend is a Maxim model, and she is a smoke. I don't think Mike Zimmer gives a rat's
ass. Just a second.
If he's the Vikings coach anymore.
That's his daughter.
That's his girlfriend. Yeah. So Elizabeth Audrey is her name. And Mike Zimmer don't give a rat's ass about what you think about anything, because he's
got an FU girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, instead of money?
Money.
I got news for you. You're not coach anymore. That goes by.
Yeah. So, nah, he's still got the money. He still got the money. So, what do you mean a new one?
I think he went from one model to another, because I think his new model or his new girlfriend is Katarina McKetton.
He's with a Katarina?
McKetton.
Yeah. That's his new girlfriend.
The new one?
He's gone through. This is his second or third one easily.
Oh, Mike, yeah. Is Zimmer's running through
him? Oh, yeah. Katarina McKetton is the new one.
Didn't he get divorced in the last few years, too?
I don't know. He's living his best life right now, though.
Now he's living his best life.
Hold on.
How about Mike Zimmer?
Hold on.
Got like one eye. He's a pirate.
Oh, she's another Russian.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Look. Yeah. I mean,
what is Mike? Mike.
He's just out there eating Chinese food in this picture.
Mike Zimmer is definitely living his best life right now.
What?
He just said.
This is not real. Yeah, this isn't a real thing.
It's like, what?
This is like Russian mail order stuff.
Zimmer,
this is
Mike Zimmer has
this
more
is
going
crazy.
On than
Mike,
we know
come
about.
On now. Okay.
Anyway, you got it? You ready? So when asked about everything last night after the Packers just whooped that ass,
wow.
Mike Zimmer was none too pleased. When asked about playing Kellen Mond, here's Mike's, and there's a long pause in here. This is not dead air. You didn't lose your signal. This is just Mike Zimmer last night.
Do you think you want to get a look at Mond next week?
Not particularly.
Mike, why don't you want to get a look at him?
I see him every day.
My God, a ringing endorsement.
And that means make him say it out loud. The follow-up should have been, and what do you see every day in practice?
Yeah.
Because he would have told you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was just waiting for you to ask that question.
Yeah.
He was just waiting.
Obviously, I don't want to see him in a game, so I'm not seeing all that much. Now, if I'm the GM, I might go play him. Mike, play him. What's the difference? Right? Play him. It's just, the Mons are probably over there going, hey, it's Sean Mannion. Yeah, listen, really? Really, dude? Sean Mannion is terrible, and you're laying into Kellen when he didn't do anything? Jerk. I bet they can't. You know what? I bet ain't no Mon's going to be dating Mike Zimmer anytime soon. No. None of the Mon girls, okay?
No.
No.
Or moms.
Oh, well.
He's out on a mom game. Why? For what? He obviously, he's got it like that, so he doesn't have to deal with mom drama.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do that. He's
no. He don't.
He's got blonde Russians. What's wrong with you? He's got Katarinas in his fold.
He don't need no Kellen.
He's got Katarinas in his stable. He doesn't need anyone's mom or a Mond or anyone that anything that even
Dude
rhymes with that.
Is living his best life.
Until he gets fired this offseason.
Gracious. Yeah. Well, you know what, though? Then he doesn't have to work and he's got all that money.
I think
so,
he wants to, though.
You think
some
he
people
wants
don't. Yeah, I think he loves coaching football.
He wants to work.
I mean, you'd be great as a college football player now. You'd opt out everything.
Everything. No. Regular season, I'm out. I'm out and out.
Would you be more Kevin Porter Jr. or just random fifth round guy out of like Kentucky who opts out?
No, I think I'd be more Johnny Manziel. If there was a football player that was probably my what do they call it? It's an identical
doppelganger.
My doppelganger, except all the talent thing
is Johnny.
Johnny, you know, I ran the football and John. That's where Johnny Manziel. But that's me. I would have been out of football in no less.
You're friends with Summy, right?
Yeah.
So you know Johnny had some stuff.
Oh, I know. I know a lot of stuff that Johnny had. A lot of stuff that Johnny did.
Johnny had issues.
Mm-hmm.
You sure you're Johnny?
Yeah.
I was Case Keenum. Just out there, quick release, and just being a good kid. Just a good kid. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Backup.
A little tap on the butt. Like, all right, guys, let's go. Let's rah, rah, go.
You'd be a backup. I'd rather be out of the league. That's what I would have been. 909 ESPN, 97.5.
Out of the league, Johnny.
Out of the league. That would have been me. Out of the league, Johnny. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. You know, we've been talking about this stuff. We've been talking about this Kevin Porter Jr. stuff and Christian Wood stuff. Here is our head coach, Steven Silas, talking about the situation at halftime.
Basically going to keep that internal, but basically he broke a team rule. I didn't start him. And then we just decided not to play him in the second half.
That was Christian Wood. And I don't believe that they decided not to play him in the second half. I believe Christian Wood, the reports are that Christian Wood refused to go in the game. I think he's protecting his player there a little bit. Maybe. Well, I don't know which is true. The reports, I'm not going to call coach a liar, but coaches will protect their players. Anyway, so Christian Wood, COVID protocol, he had to take a test. He was late for whatever the case may be. So they benched him at the beginning of the game. He came in and was awful for his 6 or 8 minutes, whatever he was. He was minus 17 on the floor, on the court, didn't give a rat's ass, didn't play with any emotion. John Lucas laid into him. John Lucas laid into the team for not respecting the coach and not playing hard for the coach. And Kevin Porter Jr. threw something in the locker room and then left the team. This is a situation that has to be addressed. You can't not, this cannot be something that you just blow off. This cannot be something that you allow to happen.
If you
in your
do, then honestly, if you do, then Tillman has to make a tough decision about your job. Because if you're going to let guys just walk all over you, if there's not going to be accountability in the locker room of a young team, an impressionable team, and Jalen Green's already posting cryptic Instagram.
Cryptic. Here's what he said. Here's what he posted. Loyalty is hard to find. On Instagram, he sent after the game. Loyalty is hard to find. Trust is easy to lose. Actions speak louder than words.
So what does that mean? What did Deshaun mean by that? I mean, Jalen. Who said that? Which is that Young Dolph? Is that a Young Dolph lyric?
You know
what is that from? Is it a lyric? What was he saying? Is that about the coaching staff? Because if so, that concerns me.
It absolutely is. You know it's not about his boys.
Oh, my God. Just stop being such a bunch of drama. Oh, my God. Can't somebody just... Why does everything have to be... I'm going to my stories. Hold on. Coach, can you pull me out? I need to go get my phone real quick. I got a story to write about you.
Loyalty is hard to find.
Your guy
got in
trouble.
Trust is easy to lose.
Your man's got in trouble for... Not for breaking a rule and the other one for not.
I do like this. There was a lot of action speak. It's concise, to the point.
I like that.
Grammatically correct. Everything.
I like all that. Three, it's black background, sentences. White lettering. There's
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, it's just, come on now. Why do we got to go to the Instagram stories to put our emotions
right
up there?
To Insta to tell everybody our feelings, all right?
So that's even more reason to get those two guys out of the locker room as fast as you can. Because Jalen's already posting his feelings on Insta.
Jalen can't learn from these guys. He just can't. You got to do something about this, Tillman. You got to do something about this. This is unacceptable behavior that you can't have in your locker room. Listen, I'm not this Casario, Easterby, Cully, cutting all your good players because of culture. I'm not. It's been ridiculous. It's been ridiculous. But you also can't have this.
I don't think this it's been ridiculous.
This is the opposite.
I think they're getting rid of Kevin Porter Jr.
They've been doing that for a while with D-Hop, with Clowney.
Well, I'm not talking about...
No, yeah. They've been doing that.
I got you. I'm talking about just Nick Casario. I'm not putting Bill... There's a line of demarcation for me in terms of the Bill O'Brien Texans, which actually won, and then this. This is about if you've got a bunch of Kevin Porter Juniors, then you get rid of them. You have a 53-man roster. There's 15 here. So you have two guys out of 15 that are an issue. If you do the math on that, then that's going to be about five players, five or six players for the Texans that would be issues if it's the same percentage. So, yeah, they have their own KPJs and Christian Woods, and they ended up having to, now Christian Woods more talented than anybody the Texans got rid of. No, he's probably on the same level as, no, he's better than Bradley Roby. Christian Wood more talented than anybody the Texans got rid of in this regime. Yeah.
Yeah. In this regime.
Yeah.
Right.
He's not more talented than D-Hop.
No, than D-Hop, no. 915 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, Coach Cully had a nice streak. By the way, Coach Cully's coming back. Coach Cully had a nice streak of not making any ridiculous decisions. That ended yesterday. And we'll talk about that decision after this on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is turning out to be, because this is going to be a four-win season. Tennessee is coming here next week, and they need a win to get the number one. How about Tennessee as the number one seed in the AFC? Which, if you had that preseason,
that's staggering.
That is unbelievable.
So now, I mean, look, they're not as good without Derrick Henry, and they beat a Dolphin team that's dead now. But they've survived.
Yeah, they lost to the Texans, and they're the number one seed.
How'd that happen?
That's unbelievable.
They lost Derrick Henry. If you had told somebody, okay, Derrick Henry's going to go down and the Texans will beat them, what are the chances they're the top seed? You'd say, plus 5,000?
No, honestly, at that point, if you bet them to be the top seed,
Chiefs had not come up quite yet. They were in the process of it. But still, it's pretty astonishing. I don't give them a serious chance of winning, getting to a Super Bowl. They might win. They might get to an AFC championship game.
I don't know.
Maybe.
They're better defensively than they've been in the past. So
they are. They got a good front. Jeffrey Simmons is really, really good. The Bengals right now, you got a running game. You got a passing game. You got an explosive wide receiver.
Yeah, it's still the Chiefs. It's still going through the Chiefs. I mean, it's just
terrible. I just think the Chiefs have shown too many bumps in the road to be able to go out and do it. To be able to do it on the road. I think somebody else gets through. We may have a not very... I think we're going to end up with Packers versus... What about Packers versus Pats?
They could be.
I wouldn't write off the Patriots, by the way.
No, I'm not writing them off either. I just don't like them on the road.
You give the Colts a chance? First of all, they got to beat Jacksonville and they're in. You give the Colts a chance. Nobody wants to see the Colts.
They've got to beat Jacksonville in their end, did you just say?
But I'm just telling you the scenario. They have to win to get in. If they beat Jacksonville, they're in. Nobody wants to see the Colts. I had a friend of mine with the Chiefs. He's like, nobody wants to see the Colts. We don't want to see them. Nobody wants to see them. Do you really feel like Carson Wentz can get you to a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Yep.
Really? Because
yep, I do.
Because it was Nick Foles that got him there previously.
Because there are a lot of holes in everybody in the AFC. I think whoever gets there from the AFC is going to get worked. Just going to get worked.
I do too, especially if they play the Packers. Is great. I know it's just, you know, I'm coming off a Sunday game, but I think that Aaron Rodgers has pretty much solidified for me that he's the most talented quarterback that I've ever seen play. I don't even think it's close. I mean, Brady's the GOAT. I get it, and he's clutch and all the things that have made him. And I think his ability to play at a high level beyond the age of 40.
Talented? Yeah, I would agree.
But from a talent standpoint and a greatness standpoint, yeah. I mean, the ability to make everything. I don't think you can find a more talented quarterback that's ever played.
I think he's got to win again. I do.
I think it helps.
I really do.
How many Super Bowls does he have?
Just one. So.
Two matters.
Yeah. Okay, so, wow, 17-7 game. Texans get the ball with 9:49 to play. Davis Mills takes them from their own 30. They get a first down. Then on third, they get another first down. Now they are down to the San Francisco 41-yard line. Davis Mills throws an incomplete pass. There is 6:57 left in the game. They're down by 10 points. They have four wins. They're at the San Francisco 41-yard line, and they punt. What in the? Here's Coach Culley talking about, because here's the thing, is that recently Coach Culley hasn't been making ridiculously, like, I don't want to say, just ridiculous decisions. Let's say that. He hasn't been lately, over the last few weeks at least. And then he punts on fourth and eight, down 10 points at the San Francisco 41-yard line. It goes into the end zone, and they take over at the 20.
So you got a plus 21.
Plus 21.
But hold on. Why are you upset with David Culley? You know he didn't call that. Why did Nick and Romeo punt there?
No.
Why? Why do you think he called it?
Here's Coach Culley talking about punting.
Well, we had three timeouts, and I felt like we'd get them backed up, get a stop with the three timeouts, and then we'd be able to get a score and be able to get the ball back, and it didn't work out that way. They ended up keeping the ball. That was my thinking on that.
That was his decision. He wasn't on the headset because he said he talks to them and the headset during timeouts. He made that decision on his own, and Nick went, why did we let him make these decisions? Oh my gosh. Wait a minute. I thought we had three timeouts. You're down 10 points. You need two scores. There's 6 minutes left. 7 minutes left in the game. I don't want to be. It's just, what in the world? How, you're a football lifer. I know it's your first time as a head coach. I get that. You're a football lifer. I guess it's making these decisions, I guess, for the first time as the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been, I've never been a head coach. I wouldn't do that. I mean, I know it's in the game, in the minute. You got to make, no. You know what? You got 30 seconds.
Look, if you got a great defense,
you're on a 41. If you got a great defense, 10 points. You've got four wins.
But I don't always. That's why it's situational. I don't always go for that. Sometimes you punt that. Is it a close, hard fought defensive game? Yesterday, it actually, you know, was. What is okay? But what's your risk reward here? What are you risking? What are you risking? There's no risk in it. It's all reward.
It's 20 more yards.
It's all reward.
More yards.
Now there's a cover to be concerned about.
Well,
maybe David Culley wanted the cover.
At that point, they were covering.
Yeah. So maybe they played the cover. No. And that I can't get mad at.
If Coach Culley.
You play to cover the game. That's what it should have been.
Coach, I know Culley. Analytics has those things out there.
Has those things out there.
This is our coach. He calls it analytics.
Stop. It's Nick and Romeo making the calls.
They didn't make that call. They were not. They both threw their headsets through. I think they broke the window there in the booth. because they both threw their headsets and said, why did we let him? Can't I tell him every single thing to do? I only think he's talking to them during timeouts. I don't think they're in his ear during the game.
We shouldn't be.
No,
You have coordinators.
Now I hope they do. No, I hope they.
Well, you got to be patched in with coordinators. You can't have Romeo and Nick in your ear.
Why not?
Although, what I'm sure Nick could break in.
Hey,
go for it here. Call timeout.
What are we doing here? Why are we punting? Let's go for this.
I don't know what the hell. We're watching a game, and it's third and 21. And a team is calling a timeout. They're down by whatever. And the team is calling a timeout. We're going, what are you doing? Take the 5 yards. It's okay. So it's instead of 21, it's third and 26. Who cares? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with coaches nowadays? You know what? I just don't think coaches love the game. I don't think they love the game. You know, and that was a point. When we come back about that, there was a pretty good point made. And I think it was Jason Whitlock?
Might have been. Yeah. I don't know. What was the point?
About Kirk Herbstreit. It was a good point.
Okay.
And we'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
What's the difference as a player in saying these games are meaningless when, as we played in quote-unquote meaningless games? I mean, I know you guys were here a lot, but I just don't understand. If you don't make it to the playoff, how is it meaningless to play football and compete? Isn't that what we do as football players? We compete? So I don't know if changing and expanding it is going to change anything. I really don't. I think this era of player just doesn't love football.
That's what I was about to say. We're dealing with a total different mentality when we're dealing with these student athletes nowadays, especially the football players. I mean, their whole mentality right now is about the championship, the playoff. We got to get into the CFB or the CFP. And because of that, they don't value the bowl games. Now, when we were coming up, Herbstreit, myself, like to go to a bowl game was a huge reward for a fantastic season. That's what it meant. It's like, okay, your team played this well, so you're going to be rewarded by going to this bowl game. You're going to get a ring. You're going to get swag. Now, kids don't really care about that. They have a sense of entitlement, and it's like, if we're not going to the one that matters, then, you know, it just doesn't have as much value to them as it did us growing up.
Damn, how come Kirk caught all the bullets and Desmond got no bullets?
He did, too. It started a firestorm. Well, you want to opt out, you don't want to play. And we're going to see, guys, and it's going to be interesting. Like you said, it's going to happen in the playoff. Guys are going to opt out.
At some point.
If you expand,
maybe not.
And if it happens, then you know what? Then now, as an NFL evaluator, now I got to judge that.
Well, and that's real.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Go ahead and let's see.
I've talked to people who do it for a living about the opt-out stuff, and it's kind of changed over the last 3 years. It still is a big issue to some guys, but I think to people who are actually, it's one thing for a scout or a personnel director, for a general manager who actually makes decisions, they know about a player's football character well before they're in a bowl game. So it used to be a bigger deal 3 years ago. It's become less of a big deal to those guys. I think it is. Now, if you opt out on a season like Kylan Hill did from Mississippi State, that was a really big deal. That was like a lot of people really were not happy about.
Well,
that.
And it hurt
he
him.
Was
in the
undrafted.
He was undrafted.
Undrafted.
Jamar Chase also opted out for the season. And
that was COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had the COVID back.
Yeah.
Excuse. Well, now, if you start,
What about Derek Stingley?
Well, he's injured. He's got injuries.
Is he?
No, that is going to be a concern.
He's got a Laramie Tunsil.
No, that's going to be a concern.
He's got a Laramie Tunsil thing going on.
It's going to be a concern for teams. When we already see, for some reason, Twitter thinks they need to tell people what to do all the time, and they don't want players to ever play football ever. That's just their thing. It's
when Correll went down.
As soon as Smith and Jigba was having his big half, they immediately wanted him to quit football. It's like, quit! Quit! What are you doing? Quit! Can he finish the game at least?
Well, but then you had that night, Matt Corral. Oh, you see?
See?
You see?
I'm glad he got hurt. No, I'm not. I'm not. He's a blessing, and I don't. I'm not, but I'm kind of glad he got hurt so I can yell at Kirk Herbstreit. What about Desmond? He didn't get bullets,
no.
too?
So,
but I understood that. But look, I've kind of come around on that where I understand. I mean, the reality is there is, for most first-round guys, there is nothing to be gained. Now, I would argue for me, there's nothing to be gained. Like, Aiden Hutchinson, I was extremely interested to see how he would do against a big physical Georgia line. When I get to see you against the best competition, me as an evaluator, I love it because I get to see how you compete against that level of competition.
That said, it was one game.
You take it.
No, he did it against Ohio State. No, you know, so you got plenty. Now, Cincinnati, you got a much better look at what Ritter's all about.
I mean, I wrote Ritter up before then, too, and I'm like, I went back and I took him to a 6. I actually liked his tape. I liked him better than I expected to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I watched him against Alabama. And look, they were overmatched. I mean,
all the way around.
Nick Saban, they were overmatched badly.
Well, listen, they didn't
up front.
Even throw the ball down the field.
No, he was overmatched up front. He didn't have a lot of time to throw it. Alex Pierce, Nick Saban basically knew, let's just take Pierce out of the game and they can't beat us down the field.
That said, that kid catches that ball on in diving catch in the end zone, and Cincinnati covers. And that's the most important thing.
That is the most important thing.
So,
but they didn't. The
so this Herbstreit and Desmond and Desmond Howard soundbite, Shannon Sharp, not Jason Whitlock, Shannon Sharp quote tweeted it, and he said this. What about coaches that opt out of bowl games for higher-paying jobs?
Right.
Brian Kelly has done it twice. Lincoln Riley just did it. This era of coaches just doesn't love football. And you know what? He's got a point. It's these coaches are not doing anything different than the players are doing. I'm leaving this team. Brian Kelly left a team that had the possibility of going to the playoff. They were a vote away, a few votes away, from actually going to the playoff. And he opted out to go take a higher-paying job at LSU or a place where he thinks he wants to be more than he wants. Oh, by the way, I'm hearing he's thinking about going to the pros already.
Brian Kelly?
Yeah.
That's just LSU people talking, putting that poison in the water.
Well, no. I think LSU fans are happy about Brian Kelly being there.
Well, I would be.
And by the way, we're going to find out tomorrow night what LSU has left in the tank right now, because they don't have any players, they don't have any coaches, and they're playing Kansas State here tomorrow night.
What do you mean they don't have any players?
Everybody's gone. There's nobody playing.
What do you mean?
Who's playing quarterback?
They've all opted out.
Everybody's gone. Max Johnson's already
went. No, the other one came back.
Yeah, great. Oh, good. Oh, good. The other guy came back.
Well, I mean, there's lots of teams going with
you mean the
second
starter
quarterbacks.
That left, okay.
Utah went with a third quarterback.
And he was awesome.
The kid had a terrible touchdown.
Anyway.
A horrible touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Anyway,
nice throw, kid.
I wholeheartedly agree with Shannon Sharp. Wait a minute. Why are we not getting on the coaches for leaving these teams?
Be consistent. I try to be consistent about this. The coaches are a huge, huge problem in college sports right now. They have there is nothing that tethers them to schools. There's nothing. They hold schools hostage. I mean, you look at Mel Tucker, Jimbo Fisher. I'm just thinking about recently. Schools get scared and immediately give these unbelievable long-term deals that schools can't get out of because they know that a coach can leave at any time they want. Like, it's – and then you have guys – me and my dad were talking about it. And we were talking about opt-outs. I said, but, you know, it's a fair point, Dad, about how, you know, you have Lincoln Riley leaving. You have this guy leaving. Coordinators leaving. That if you have a problem with one, you have to have a problem with the other.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be okay with coaches leaving and not okay with players. You can't be okay with players leaving and not okay with coaches. Just be consistent. If you're going to let people leave and opt out of bowl games, then I guess you have to be okay with it across the board. Don't just pick and choose the ones that you want to. You know, I think it's horrible timing that deals get done before bowl games because, that made a lot of the bowl games. Now, it was kind of a cool scenario, and Bob Stoops goes back to Oklahoma.
That's kind of a cool scenario. By the way, they sure did play for him.
They did. Are you sure there's no chance that he coaches there again?
No, they've already hired Venable.
Oh, that's right, Brent Venables. That's right. I was sick when all that
he
went
gave
down.
Him the, gave yeah. him the that's visor. Right.
I didn't see the passing of the visor.
Yeah. All right, let's get Javon in here. Hey, Javon.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I think the real issue with these opt-out is during the regular season, why is Alabama playing Charleston Southern and School of the Deaf? Like, cut those games out during the regular season. Just play a 10 or 11 game schedule, and cut these crazy non-conference games off, but they play these FCS schools. It's just a waste of time. And maybe we'll have guys, maybe choose have an effect on the bowl game or not. Other point I want to make is, when did this discrepancy happen between these SEC elite teams and everybody else? I remember going back in the day, like Michigan had good teams, Notre Dame had good teams, and now when they play each other, it's like it's not even close. It's like it's not even recruiting athletes from the same country. So I guess my question is, has the talent discrepancy always been there between the SEC and everybody else, and we just didn't know about it because there was no playoffs, or what? Or did it just happen? Like, what's the root cause of the talent discrepancy between these
a great question.
SEC teams and everybody else? Thanks, guys.
I think what has happened is, I think one of the things is the Southern schools have better athletes. I mean, it has been proven out. Miami, or Florida rather, produces a phenomenal amount of
Louisiana,
skill
Mississippi,
and athletes. Louisiana, less Georgia. Less Mississippi, but
no,
Texas,
Mississippi has per capita.
They have some.
It's awesome.
They have some. It's just not a. It's
a,
not
a lot of really
depends
big
on what
kids.
You're looking for.
A
speed,
lot of really big kids.
They're faster.
Yeah. Well,
Southeastern schools are faster. Yeah. They're bigger, but I will say this. There's plenty of corn-fed big, cold weather guys too. I mean, the weight room, they're sloppy big and there's big. Yeah. There's two different kinds
oh,
of big.
By the
too.
Way, did you
there's
watch
a lot of sloppy big in
did
SEC
did you watch any
schools.
Of the high school All-American game?
Uh-uh.
Holy
was it
crap.
Army?
That Walter Nolan kid that A&M has?
Oh,
that
yeah.
He took on a double team, parted the C, and took on the running back in the hole. I was like, holy crap.
That's the five-star?
Against two All-American high school kids on the offensive line.
Wow.
A double team.
Why are they playing in that game?
Opt out? You want them to opt out.
Well, could they get hurt before they go to college and get NIL deals? Yes or no?
Oh, my God. Now you want them to opt. Now you want high schoolers to opt out.
I just
want
to give Twitter the head start. Start calling these kids to quit. The quit. Go, right. They were loved.
But
quit.
It,
when
no,
Quentin Ewers quit high school,
yeah.
Like, I'm leaving high school. Yes! I am opting out of the Army game.
For whatever reason, the South, and specifically the Southeast, has more talented football players.
They're faster. Here's what's happened specifically with Georgia and Alabama. Georgia and Alabama operate as pro teams, meaning there are physical standards. Nick Saban, who spent time in the pros, goes by height, weight, speed. He has all the physical measurements, arm length, body type, all of that. He operates as an NFL pro personnel department. Kirby Smart was on his staff. Kirby Smart now operates the same way. They have standards for height, for weight, for lean mass, for length, for all these things, certain types of speed. If you'll notice, defensive linemen look the same from Alabama every single year. Wide receivers now are kind of thin. Like, that's one thing I noticed with Calvin Ridley and Jerry Jeudy and Devontae Smith. I'm like, wow. So Nick is, like, cool with skinny wide receivers. That's one of the – it used to just be the Julio Jones stuff.
Yeah.
But and then he changed what his pass rushers look like over the years.
Jamison Williams is small, too.
He's small, too. Nick is cool with that. So Nick gets a body type. He casts players. Just imagine it's like a movie that you cast the same type of people into every role. That's what he does. And Kirby Smart is doing that now, too. So they're going with guys who have physical NFL standards. And then I will say this. Alabama has more they have more performance equipment and biophysical analysis than any NFL team. Alabama has these – they do force plate stuff where it measures your explosiveness when you lift. They have this track machine that you latch it onto. It's a pulley system that you latch onto your legs, and as you run – it can measure how strong your right leg is versus your left leg, how long the stride is. It was developed by a track and field expert. So now what they do is they train based on your weakness. They will train your weakness to become a strength. Devontae Smith, they trained him to be faster at the beginning of his route. They trained him specifically for that. Alabama, and I'm assuming now Georgia, are above most NFL teams because they have all the money in the world. They can hire as many coaches as they want. They get the best stuff, the best equipment. And that's why those two are head and shoulders above everything. Nice. What is this?
Look at this. Oh, wow. We got brand new footballs from the Houston Texans.
Guys.
From the Texans.
And this is the thing that I love about the Texans. It's a classy organization.
It's the best. I think they're on the right track in every
sense. We just got
way.
A football.
We just got football. It says, with our names on
Lance
it.
Lance Zierlein, ESPN. Oh, game ball presented to. I got a game ball.
This is a real NFL football.
Yeah. And listen, this is the thing. I think people are too hard on the Texans, first and foremost.
I think one of the things
that we got to talk about, John, is the way the Texans have grown over the years.
Yeah.
At one point, everyone was saying, oh, they're going to be 1-16. Here they are with four wins. And I think Nick Caserio and David Culley and Jack Easterby to that, you know, for that point, and Cal McNair have done a really amazing job at never saying die, at continuing to compete, and building a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the fish.
Yeah. Red fish, blue fish, all the fish.
9:45, News of the Weird.
How do they throw pro
finishing
football?
Finishing up strong right now. I know.
How big do your hands have to be to throw a pro football?
Little hand guys don't get it.
Kenny Pickett, by the way, sub nine inch
little
hands.
Little fingers, little baby hands. He's not. We're going to take a break. When we come back, News of the Weird. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We have an open now. 2022 is like that. You know that.
What's that?
We got an open for News of the Weird now. You didn't hear it.
Oh, I heard. Oh, that was the whole opening?
That was the open.
Oh. You and I were just talking about stuff.
2022 is just different. Well, 2021 was much the same. In Texarkana, Lance...
Yep.
Did you see it was raining animals?
Was this during our heat wave?
Nope. Here's what happened. Apparently,
rain mosquitoes here, in my backyard.
2021 is pulling out all the tricks, including raining fish in Texarkana today. And no, this isn't a joke. It actually rained fish. This fish was seen on the ground. Animal rain is a phenomenon that occurs when small water animals like frogs, crabs, and small fish are swept up in water spouts or drafts that occur on the surface of the earth and then rain down as if it's raining fish and animals. Do you want to be in a rainstorm of animals?
Something like that happened in Vanilla Sky, the movie with Tom Cruise. Like, wasn't there a frog? I just remember I was kind of sick when I went to the theater and I thought I was hallucinating. I don't know what was real or what wasn't real when you watch a movie like that. But, I think I'd like a fish ring. Sure, I'd like to just check it out at one point.
Yeah. A Chicago woman, she chose to isolate herself on a flight. For 3 hours, she sat in the bathroom of a flight because she took 5 rapid tests before she left, which were all negative. But then she said, I was feeling a sore throat, so I took another one on the plane. So she tested positive. Do you think you should isolate in a bathroom on a plane?
Yeah, I don't. I have to recuse myself because I self isolate in bathrooms all the time to hide from kids and watch it. So I don't think I'm the person to ask this question to.
You isolate.
Yeah, I mean, I self quarantine all the time in a bathroom. Like, oh, it used to be Words with Friends. Then it was, you know, a golf game. Then it was Netflix. Then it was Peaky Blinders. So, yeah, I'm not the person to ask. Yes, I say yes. I think you should. You want my answer? That's an easy one.
Would you do that even if you don't test positive? Just let's say your kids are all...
Not in a plane.
But wait a minute. Let's say your kids are jumping and bothering you on the plane the whole way.
Nah, because I get embarrassed about... my kids' behavior sometimes, so I have to be there to shut it down.
I have to be
the dad to shut it down. Would I like to just go shut it down in a bathroom? Absolutely. Except my wife is afraid of flying, so she takes medicine to fly and may every once in a while, you know, back it up with a little something.
A little alcohol?
A little vodka tonic. So, and I just let her pass out, and I just got my headphones on with my iPad, and I'm like, this is great.
I love this flight.
This is the best. best flight ever.
You don't
every
to,
flight's the best flight
ever. You don't have to
ever.
Go to the bathroom.
Never.
Apparently, there is an option now out there for $35 for 100 cards. You can get Don't Weigh Me cards. W-E-I-G-H. Don't Weigh Me. Because apparently people feel self-conscious about stepping on a scale at a doctor's office. And if you would like...
You don't want to face that.
Please don't weigh me unless it's really medically necessary.
But it is.
But kind of
they is. Need to know what your weight is, your BMI, your
adding,
potential for...
If you really need my weight, please tell me why so that I can give you my informed consent.
Look, none of us like... Look,
no one.
There's times
step
where you
that.
Don't like
no
to hit
one.
The scale.
No.
Right?
Right.
It's not a fun time. Just mm-hmm. don't look at it and just hope that they don't say it out loud. That's how that works.
Did you ever send your kids to daycare? Right?
I think one time I definitely Drake our, did. Yeah.
We did. Well, because we both worked, so mm-hmm. yeah. I don't think I would send them to this daycare. Apparently in Westport, the daycare
Westport
worker,
what?
In Westport, I think this is in England. Westport, apparently, Westport Police Department was called because one of their daycare workers was calling babies chunky monkeys and kicking balls at them.
You know what I call that? The Great Santini's Daycare.
Where you're bouncing the ball off the head?
Which way? You going to cry? Boink.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That made the kids tougher, though.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, if you need a new job next Christmas,
yeah.
I got one for you.
What is it? I bet it's bad.
This worker, however, was strained at the limit of human possibility during the Christmas season. Apparently, he's a veteran ham sniffer.
Hand?
Ham. No.
As in the meat?
He sniffs 800 ham loins a day.
Make sure they smell right.
Make sure that they don't
smell. Make
stink.
Sure the ham game is
yeah.
right.
And you know what? So... Apparently, it's a 142-year-old Iberian ham company, and they make employees sniff hams. Would you like a job sniffing hams during the holiday?
Is that the urban definition, urban dictionary definition of, man, I'll sniff them hams?
No, it's really sniffing
hams.
Oh, it's really,
okay. Because I think ham sniffing is something that, like, man, that man is a ham sniffer.
Well,
it might mean something.
I don't want to be one of them in... Literally or on Urban Dictionary.
Yams, hams, the whole nine.
Charlie Palillo next? Or is he? Charlie's here. How ironic, somebody said. Charlie was
today is in
all week last week, and we weren't.
You get comp days for today.
Oh, yeah, we do get comp days, so we'll take them. We had a great day. We will talk to you again tomorrow, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
How many times will you learn the same lesson? Think they got it all wrong. We just got to we're gonna be legends. Gonna get their attention. What we're doing here ain't just scary. It's about to be legendary.
Bye, bitch.
ESPN. 90.